It's a funny thing. I just stood up, and I do this a lot, and my knees just started to shake. And normally, you see me not at the podium. And today I decided to do it a little bit differently because, for one reason, it's Mother's Day. And when I was preparing this talk, it wasn't until this morning, about a half an hour before I left to come to church, I realized that what I'm doing, didn't realize I was doing this consciously. I never had the opportunity to speak any of this about my mom at her memorial service or throughout the process of her death, other than the conversations that I'd had with her when she was still conscious. And I know she could hear me, but when she could respond. So at the beginning of this year, Reverend Jill and I and Leah sat down and pretty much kind of mapped out or put a framework around this entire year for what we were going to talk about, what the themes of the month were going to be, the classes we were going to teach, all of those things that when the Sundays, when either Jill was going to speak or I was going to speak or if we were going to have guests. And one of the things, the interesting thing was we were a little confused, all of us, maybe it was just me, about the date for Mother's Day. And we flipped and flopped around having Joe Vitale here, and it was, oh, we can't do it because it's Mother's Day. And I thought, you know, I'm free and clear. I don't have to speak on Mother's Day. No. God had other plans, as God always does. So I wrote it thankfully in big enough print that I don't think I need my glasses, but I'm going to grab them anyway. So long story short, here I am. It is Mother's Day, and I am your speaker du jour. Thank you. So as many of you know, my mother passed not quite 2 years ago, and as many of you I know have already experienced the loss of a mother and understand that of any of the losses you might experience, this is one that is deeply primal, deeply ancestral. It's not just us with our mom. It goes back to the beginning of time. It's a different kind of grief. It's a different place to be. And curiously, but not surprisingly, as God does, the last 2 weekends I've been in Lakewood, Colorado at ministerial school in an intensive, and I use that word purposefully, an intensive class in pastoral care in ministerial school. We dealt with a lot of grief. We worked through a lot of the grief process. And as you can well imagine, a lot of the people in the class, everybody had some mom stuff, whether she was still living or not. And as you hear, you know, we've heard it said, if it's not one thing, it's your mother. So one of the reasons, of course, that I'm doing this, I have my notes in front of me, safely in front of me, because there are a lot of things that I wanted to speak to today that I made sure that I didn't forget. In the emotion or in the getting caught up, sometimes I can go off track and go down another rabbit hole. Didn't want to do that. I really wanted to gather and share what I'm sharing with you today. I chose that song, Hold You in the Light, to proceed this talk specifically for one purpose, to emphasize the gratitude and the honor I feel for each woman in my life, not only as mother figures, no matter how brief the moment of influence may have been, but as women of strength, tenacity, courage, and at their very hearts, women with an inherently infinite capacity to love. In this day and age, we know that the definition of what a mother is as vast as the number of women who hold the title. We have moved way beyond anything resembling tradition. To me, the word mother applies to any woman who, no matter what her past or her upbringing, good, bad, or indifferent, has expressed compassion, strength, wisdom, ingenuity, resourcefulness, generosity, courage, tenacity, joy, and equanimity to any child, whether they are a biological children or not, and whether those children are younger than her or not. Think about that for a moment. We're all children, right? To each of them, I hold each of them in the light of love. To all the women who have become or have been mothers to an aging parent or parents, bless you for doing your best to balance the anticipatory grief of knowing what's coming and balancing it with the day-to-day heavy lifting of parenting your parents. To all the women who have had to be a mother to themselves and sometimes their siblings when one or both parents were tangled in the throes of addiction, abuse, incarceration, or left through divorce or early death, bless you. To all the mothers who wholeheartedly and unconditionally accepted your sons or daughters when they came out as gay or lesbian or had journeyed through years of questioning, self-awareness, and acceptance to live as transgendered, I hold all of you dearly, dearly in the light of love. Mothers, grandmothers, aunts, sisters, and any woman, I thank you for teaching girls and young women that true beauty comes from knowing self-worth and not the perfect shade of lipstick or the right brand of shampoo. And for teaching boys and young men that there is no shame in crying and that real power and strength lies not in the physical realm, but in emotional honesty and spiritual maturity. To all the women who have honored the fact that fashion trends will come and go and be recirculated, thank you. Thank you for letting our youngsters know it is totally okay for them to fly their freak flag in their senior picture, knowing full well it will come back around to haunt them when they are in middle age. I, for one, thought I was pretty hot because I had a perm in my senior picture. I did not bring the picture. For good reason. For all the women who have taught both young girls and boys what healthy boundaries look like and demonstrating strong values like honesty, integrity, respect, compassion, and selfless service while allowing them to learn from their mistakes and not quit at the first sign that things might not be going the way they preferred. Thank you for demonstrating that it is in the listening to others and especially to spirit that we learn to find our own voices, and that it, as it has been wisely said, is better to keep silent and thought a fool than to open your mouth and prove it. Here, then, is my love letter to the women who influenced me while I was growing up. Dear Miss Thelma, thank you for demonstrating that no work done well is less honorable or valuable than any other. There was a powerfully quiet strength and dignity about you. I loved saying things that made you laugh because when you smiled, I could see that one gold tooth you had in the front that had a cutout of a star. You had children of your own that I would never meet. I wonder now who was taking care of them while you were here or there, ironing my father's shirts and watching over me while I did my elementary school homework, while my mother was teaching school and attending PTA meetings. I wonder now what you were thinking and feeling not being with your kids after school, working for my middle-class white parents, while the race riots of 1960s Detroit escalated just a few miles away from us. Dear Mrs. L, thank you for being that neighborhood mom and having that one home where all the kids, including your five, love to play. For all the summer afternoons we spent in your backyard playing pickup baseball games or tag or some other activity, there always seemed to be an ice-cold pitcher of Kool-Aid for us. Everyone, young and old, always seemed welcome at your house. The days you made homemade cinnamon bread were heavenly. Maybe it was because you were a full-time nurse, or maybe you were a nurse because of an inherent desire to be of service. Either way, you were the best. Dear Sister Jackie of St. Robert's Parish, Thank you for your authentic and infectiously beaming smile and for showing me that nuns could actually be really fun and cool. Your love of baseball was contagious, and when I found out you were in a softball league with a whole bunch of other nuns, wow. Throughout that one term of catechism classes that I think we're supposed to count as sex ed, and the only such formal education I ever received on the subject, you were kind, patient, and non-judgmental. The day that I courageously and earnestly asked in front of the whole class, how do I get a boyfriend when I just don't feel anything for boys? You just smiled kindly. And while the other girls in the class laughed, you answered, probably with way more understanding than anyone I'd met to that point, you said to me, be patient. You'll find someone to fall in love with soon enough. In hindsight, I recall you didn't say it would be with a boy. Dear Ms. L., thank you for holding my hand throughout the memorial service for my friend Scott when I was 16 years old. I didn't understand then why my mom wasn't sitting next to me as I went through my first real experience of tragic and personal loss. I did learn later on that in her own grief and fear of being a mother who could lose a child to a car wreck, that was the only way she knew how to protect her own heart. I thank you deeply for being what I needed that day. Dear Mrs. D., thank you for the high school graduation gift of Khalil Gibran's The Prophet and Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass. Thank you for seeing me as the spiritual seeker I was long before I was ever aware that there was another path to God besides the one of my family's faith tradition. Dear Ms. T., I will be forever grateful for you showing me what truly unconditional mother love looks like. As a longtime self-employed single mother who happened to be a lesbian, you fiercely held to doing everything that needed to be done to give your child a loving, stable home. I have unspeakable admiration for the work you did to raise such an amazing, respectful, loving, free-spirited, and responsible young adult, in spite of and mostly because of the long history you had with abuse, dysfunction, and neglect in your own family. To my dear wife, Cynthia, I know that given the opportunity, you would be mother to every shelter, dog, and cat within a 100-mile radius and then some. Though you never had children of your own, you engage with every little one you meet with enthusiasm and joy. It is a testament to your deeply loving heart that you attract so many loving beings into your life. Thank you for loving me and all of our pets. And before I close today, I want to share with you a poem from a longtime friend of mine that I met when I lived in Athens, Georgia. She is a published poet. She has a couple of books out and also a very gifted musician. We used to play music together quite a bit. Awesome saxophone player. And this was another God thing, that yesterday as I was putting the rest of this together, I happened to go on Facebook, and she had just literally about 10 minutes before posted this poem. It's called On the Day Before Mother's Day. To the child-free and childless, to the unmothered and the poorly mothered, to the birth mother and the surrogate mother, to the miscarriage survivor and the woman exercising her choice, to the ones grieving lost mothers. Take care of yourself. Commercial holidays around family roles don't include the complexity of real human stories. It's Michelle Castleberry. You can look her up. Thank you, Michelle, for giving me permission to share that. And as I said earlier, the definition of motherhood, we know, is pretty complex. And what I know and what I affirm is that the things we teach here at this center, no matter good or bad or what it looks like or what the relationship in the past or what it might be right now, that at the heart of everything, the only thing happening in any moment is love. Messy, imperfect, perfectly imperfect love. Each person we call or have called mother is doing the best that she can with what she has from where she is right now. I am so grateful for your prayer, Jan, the daily word, all of this. We all have this space. And so I finish with this, and I'm going to take a deep breath and a sip of water. Dear Mom, it's been 1 year, 8 months, 4 days, 10 hours, and 20 minutes since you released your earthly body from its human adventure. I have to say again how grateful I am for that day 6 years before you died, when you found your way to showing me your real heart, the real truth of you, by speaking the words of a wounded child, a fearful lifelong perfectionist, and at then age 76, a still uncertain mother. I'm grateful that you spoke the words of the love and respect that you have and had for me, authentically, honestly, and as unguarded as I'd ever seen you. Still very much in control, but unguarded nonetheless. I was so very much at peace with where we'd come to in our relationship, how we'd come to love one another in those last 6 years. And I'm grateful that in the end, through the mental haze of your dementia, that part of your brain, the one most connected to your heart, repeatedly told me how proud of me you were and how much you loved me. I never got tired of hearing it, no matter how many times you forgot you said it. All the things you taught me, whether by default or by design, I know you were doing the best you could with what you had, with the level of awareness you had at the time. As you well know, you've been coming into my dreams to have full-blown conversations about all manner of things lately. As clear as day, just sitting there unguarded with a comfortable ease, like it's something we'd done all along. But we didn't, and I'm not complaining. Lately, there have been times when I've looked down when I'm playing the piano or working on my computer and have seen somehow that your hands have taken over at the end of my wrists. They've replaced my hands. Her fingers were longer than mine, but sometimes they really look like hers. It's disconcerting, at the same time comforting. If you're somehow having a vicarious rock star experience through me, then so be it. I know it's only because you love music and me so much. You are forever present, Mom. Thank you. And I love you. Let's have some meditation. So let's just breathe. Let's take a really big, deep breath. Yeah. And letting out that love. Letting go of any tension or any feelings. And knowing that at the heart, it is all love. It just gets a little tangled inside sometimes, and we don't know how to let it out. So we breathe. And as we're letting that air out, that breath out into the world as love, we take in the next breath as love. And with the image of that person or persons that you have called mom or mother or mama, whatever nickname or name of affection that you have spoken into the universe, just visualize her heart or their hearts. And visualize yours. Just greeting each other so warmly. Embracing each other so warmly. Let that love just bubble up as this beautiful, swirling, glowing light emanating, radiating from that joined heart space. Recognize that love, that energy, that light is that power of the divine feminine. Power is always, always, always present and available. And that's the important thing to remember. It is available. It is available. It is as near as that next breath to bring it to mind, consciously to mind, that it is present, available, and there for us. Doesn't that feel wonderful? So wonderful to know that no matter what is going on, any particular moment of any day, and anything that may have come before, there is only love. There is only love. Letting fear and worry
away from me. I open my eyes and see there is only love. There is only love. Love that heals, love that sets me free. There is only love. When I lose myself, when it seems I've lost my way, when I go inside gently say, there is only love, there is only love, love that heals, love that sets us free. There is only love. There is only love. There is only, there is only love. Love that heals, love that sets us free. There is only love. There is only
Mother's Day.